Life Audio.
You don't have to defend yourself. You're not on trial. You did not do anything wrong. Now, whether you choose to actually stay silent and not speak any words, or whether you change the subject, whether you continue to focus that person back on their own behavior, you're going to have to use wisdom with all of that. But what I will say is that when someone is trying to blame you, it is critically important that you do not allow their words to seep into your heart. Hey, loves, I'm Dana Shea. I've been married for over 25 years to my childhood sweetheart, Sean. But our marriage hasn't always been sweet. There were some really dark nights caused by betrayal and conflict. We were so disconnected. Over the last decade, we've learned the tools to rebuild our marriage into something greater than we ever hoped for. And I want to help you do the same. As a marriage and relationship coach, I can give you the blueprint for how to rebuild your relationship. You're not here today by chance, friend. So turn up the volume and let me be your guide to rebuilding your life and rebuilding your love. Welcome to the Rebuilding Us podcast. Welcome to Rebuilding Us. Thank you so much for being here today as we continue in the series that we've been doing called Affair Proof. If you clicked on this title, then you probably are someone who either has felt shame at some point in your life, or maybe you are blaming someone for an affair. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're blaming your spouse. I don't know. But today we are going to get into this really worthy conversation. We're going to be talking a lot about shame and blame, because I believe that shame is one of those things that if we do not address it head on, it will derail not only your present relationship, but every relationship moving forward. You will always have this thing that shame is countering. And so we want to make sure that we understand what shame is, what blame is, why they're in our lives, and then how we can banish both of them. So before we start, I just want to thank you all so much for those of you who have been writing me DMs on Instagram, telling me about how this series is helping you. I have heard throughout the years from people who have wanted to know a little bit more about my story of infidelity, what Sean and I have dealt with in our marriage. And we've done a couple of episodes in years past about infidelity, but we've never really discussed it in this much depth. And so the whole point of me doing this series is to help those of you all who are either in the throes of infidelity right now, or maybe you have experienced infidelity at some point in your relationship, or maybe you're a caretaker, you're a coach, you are a friend, you're doing pastoral counseling or something of that sort with people who are walking through infidelity. So today, you all, we are going to talk about shame. Shame is one of those things that it is intrinsic to who you are. It's a difference between feeling bad about something. Brené Brown says that there's a difference between guilt and shame. Guilt says I did something bad. Shame says I am bad. If you feel bad about yourself for decisions that you've made, choices that you've made, choices of other people, that's never healthy. Please hear me when I say that shame is never productive. It does not serve you well in any situation. Now, on the flip side, blame, which we're going to talk about here in a moment, also does not serve you well. It makes you feel good temporarily, but it doesn't finish the task. It doesn't actually bring about the results that you're looking for, which is really hopefully healing. Most couples think that they have a communication problem when actually they have a connection problem. That's why I created the How Connected Are You Partner Quiz, so that you can test the connectivity in your relationship. This quiz is fun, free, and easy, and it will equip you with the vital next steps to build a deeper connection in your relationship. Take the quiz today at danashea.com/partner quiz. That's danashe.com/partner quiz. Now, back to our show. So let's talk a little bit about shame. There's nothing new about shame. If you know the story of Adam and Eve, you know that when God created them in this beautiful, perfect world and they sinned against him, the very first thing that they did was they went and hid. God came down and said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam and Eve were hiding in the bushes. That's what shame does. It's when we realize that we've done something wrong, and instead of being honest and transparent and open about that, we hide. Shame causes you to hide. Now, maybe you're not hiding physically, but you're hiding emotionally. You're hiding yourself from your spouse. You're hiding yourself from the truth. You're hiding yourself from people who can actually help you. I see this a lot when a spouse has just learned that their spouse has been unfaithful to them. So they're the one who was victimized by their spouse's infidelity. The victimized spouse will also a lot of times go into hiding. They'll ignore the phone calls of their friends. They won't reach out for help. They will do things that are very shame-inducive, right? And the reason that they do that is because shame, quote-unquote, protects them from the fallout, whatever fallout they're afraid of. But again, it's never productive. So where are you today? Are you the person who cheated, or are you the person who was cheated on? Or again, are you maybe a caretaker who's, you're in the middle? You're like, I'm trying to help both of these people here, and I know that they're both dealing with shame, and I don't really know how to help them. Wherever you are, I think it's important that we understand that instead of hiding, instead of pretending, instead of denying the truth about what happened, that's what shame does, that we actually say, you know what, this is the truth about what happened. And the truth is ugly, and it's hard to admit, and it's hard to take responsibility for. So when we don't want to take responsibility for something, what we usually do is then we'll blame. It's not my fault. I mean, if you weren't pushing me away, I wouldn't have stepped out. How many of you have heard that before? I mean, if you would have just met my needs, if you would have just answered me, if you, and then the person will try to shift the blame onto you. Now, we all know what blame is, right? Blame is basically assigning responsibility for a fault or a wrong. You're assigning responsibility for that thing to someone else, usually. We don't usually blame ourselves, but we blame other people. So I did wrong. When you accept responsibility, that's not blaming yourself. That's simply accepting responsibility. I did something wrong. Guilt should be present. So if you've ever been told you should never feel guilty, or don't feel guilty about that, you need to not listen to that advice, okay? Guilt tells you that you are not a psychopath. If you do something wrong and you don't feel guilt at all, something is wrong. You should feel guilty. Now, what guilt's purpose is guilt is supposed to lead you to repentance. You're supposed to get to this place where you realize, oh, shoot, I'm actually operating well below my calling, my potential, my purpose, my integrity. I feel guilty about that. I did XYZ, fill in the blank. Now I'm going to go make it right. This is the ideal situation. This is what we should all aspire to do. We realize that we've done something wrong. We accept responsibility for it. We repent. We make it right. Hopefully there's reconciliation at the end of that. Now, if you never get to that place where you're able to accept that what you did was wrong, your relationships are all going to be stunted, because you can't walk in healthy relationships without taking responsibility for your share in the breakdown of the relationships. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you are, you know, insignificant. It doesn't mean that you're a loser. It just means that you're a human being who makes mistakes, that makes bad choices from time to time. So when we're not able to accept responsibility, then what we do is then we blame our mistakes, our choices on other people. Maybe you found out that your spouse has been unfaithful to you, and your spouse is blaming you. They're saying it's your fault. Now, they might not come out right and say that, but they allude to it. They say things like, you know, I just didn't really feel like I could talk to you. I mean, this other person just, they were so easy to talk to. And that's why I cheated. That's still blaming you. Because what they're saying is you weren't doing your part, so I had to go and find a solution. That's an excuse, and that is not right. It isn't your fault. You could be the worst listener in the world. That still does not excuse them for doing what they did. So listen out for those kind of covert conversations where someone is trying to blame you for something. If you're the spouse who was cheated on, now maybe you hear your spouse blaming other people. Maybe they're not blaming you, but they're blaming the other person. You know, I mean, the way that that woman just came on to me, like, oh my gosh, like, oh, you have no idea how hard it is being a man out here. And the way these women just come at you, like it's the women's fault. This happens a lot. Or maybe the spouse that cheated blames their parent who cheated. You know, all I saw growing up was my dad cheating on my mom. And I mean, I was hoping that I wouldn't be that way, but I guess it's just in me. Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds good. But at the end of the day, we all have the capability and responsibility for making good choices, despite how we were raised. Maybe they're blaming a system. An environment, everybody at my job, you know, it's the military life, man. All these military people are like this. I didn't mean to do it. It's just everybody else was doing it. Anytime that they shift the responsibility from themselves to someone else, they're blaming. And that's really concerning as a coach, because I realize I honestly cannot help a couple to move forward if the person who did the wrong will not take responsibility. We are literally stuck at that point, because what we're not going to do is pretend and go along with the blame excuse and think that we're going to reconcile a relationship. It doesn't work that way. So the first step is that whoever did the wrong has to accept responsibility. All right. I have so much more that I want to share with you about blame and shame and how to get rid of them in your life and in your relationships once and for all. So don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, friends, we're back. We're talking about shame and blame. And yes, these two usually go hand in hand. Where there's shame, there's usually blame and vice versa. So when someone is blaming others, they're doing that as a way to deflect the attention from themselves. And to be honest, it's really not always this like manipulative, conniving thing that people are doing. A lot of times when we're blaming someone else, what happens is that we do not want to accept the pain of what we have done. Especially if you are in a marriage, let's say that you're married and your spouse is cheated, right? Your spouse is blaming others. Why? Because that spouse has a hard time believing that they could be capable of doing so much harm. Maybe your spouse is a great person. And in most areas of their lives, they live with integrity. But this one area has somehow gotten them, and they just cannot deal with the truth that they actually caused this much pain. So it's a way to deflect, but it's also a way to protect. It's a way for them to protect themselves from feeling the pain of what they have done. So yes, they know that they have caused pain to you, but they can't sit with that and say, I have caused so much pain to the person that I love the most. Because why? That's painful. The realization of that is painful. And since most of us don't want to experience pain, we will do any and everything to avoid it, including blaming, even if that means blaming you. I know, it's this weird, like, twisted game that we play psychologically with ourselves. And it's really unhealthy and incredibly dysfunctional, but it happens in a lot of situations. This is very common. So if you're experiencing this relational dynamic right now, you're not in a weird spot. This happens more often than not, but it isn't healthy. And yes, you do need to be aware of it, and you need to reject it. When someone is blaming you for something that you did not do, you don't have to defend yourself. I am so in awe of when Jesus was headed to the cross and they were beating him, slapping him, hurling insults at him. Jesus, the Bible says, did not speak a word. Talk about self-control. Why? Because he knew who he was. He knew that he did not bear any responsibility for what they were doing. He was not wrong in any way, so he didn't feel the need to respond. I know this is hard when someone's hurling insults at you, when someone is telling you all the things that you're not and all the things that you should have done. It is so hard to maintain a level of self-composure and not to defend yourself. But I want to encourage you, you don't have to defend yourself. You're not on trial. You did not do anything wrong. Now, whether you choose to actually stay silent and not speak any words, or whether you change the subject, whether you continue to focus that person back on their own behavior, you're going to have to use wisdom with all of that. But what I will say is that when someone is trying to blame you, it is critically important that you do not allow their words to seep into your heart. That you don't start thinking, well, man, yeah, maybe I should have been more available. Yeah, maybe if I would have only, oh man, friend, please don't do that. You're not to blame. You bear zero responsibility. Now, does that mean that you are a perfect spouse and you didn't contribute to the breakdown of your relationship that made your relationship in a place of vulnerability where this other person came along? Of course, we've got to be able to accept the things that we have done, but you didn't cause an affair. Let's get that straight. You did not cause your spouse to cheat, period. So there's no blame on your part. Sometimes the other spouse will blame other people as a way to really shield themselves from admitting who they really are or who they really were in that moment, put it that way, right? So it couldn't be me. I can't be selfish. I can't be someone who only prioritizes my needs to the detriment of my spouse's needs. No, it was the other person. The reason that I did it was because of them. And then again, they're not accepting responsibility for what they did. So who's at fault here? Who's to blame for an affair? The person who committed the act. Now, a lot of times, and if you all heard a few episodes ago, we did an episode on should I confront the other woman or the other person in the affair. This is a tempting thing to do when you are the one who was betrayed because you're trying to figure this all out. You're trying to establish somebody's got to pay for this. There's been an injustice done. There's a guilty party and somebody needs to pay for what has happened. The problem is the person that you're trying to get to pay is the wrong person. So if you're trying to get the other woman to acknowledge what she did or the other man to acknowledge what, that's not their responsibility. They're not the one who married you. They're not the one who's in covenant with you. Your spouse is. Do they bear some responsibility? Absolutely. Are they in the wrong? 100%. But you going and confronting them and you trying to make them pay for destroying your marriage and calling them a home wrecker, none of that is appropriate. None of it. Your spouse is the one which whom the blame lies. So how do you actually have this conversation? My goodness, this is difficult, y'all. It's not easy to be able to look at your spouse, the person who has hurt you and wounded you so deeply, and bring them to account. This is very difficult. And they are usually in a state of denial. They are usually in a state of just trying to reconcile with you and just make it all go away. So a lot of times they're not even going to really hear what you're trying to say. This is when you need a good coach. You need somebody, a third party, who's going to be able to come in and say, okay, you guys, let's both sit down. I'm objective. I'm not on either one of your sides. I am on the side of truth and responsibility. So whoever wants to come along with me on the truth and responsibility journey, let's go. Okay. But you need somebody who's going to be willing to walk you through this. This is very difficult to do alone, which is why if you all listened in the previous episode, episode 233, I talked about making sure that you have a trauma team. If you're the person who was cheated on, you're the wounded spouse, you need a trauma team. You need a small team. I'm talking two or three people who are highly trusted, who are good listeners, who are going to encourage you, who are going to allow you to emote and grieve. You need some people in your life that you can be honest with and you can share what's really going on. These people are critically important because if you are married to someone who, again, tries to shift that blame to you, you can tell your trauma team, hey, this is what they're saying. And those people are going to tell you the truth. No, that's not true. That isn't why your spouse cheated on you. You aren't to blame. So making sure that you have that trauma team, again, critically important. So when we are walking through who's to blame, this is not a means to like capital punishment in relationship world, right? It's not saying, you know, this relationship can never be restored and we can't reconcile. We're not even there yet, y'all. We are so far away from determining if this relationship can be restored or not. Because if someone's blaming, that means they're not repenting. Repentance must happen in order for a relationship to be rebuilt or restored or reconciled. Must happen, hands down. So again, if I'm working with a couple and that spouse is still giving me stories about how they grew up and all the things that they saw and why they cheated and why, no, okay, we can listen for a little bit. I need you to get it out. Go ahead and get it out. But we can't still be talking about that in 5 and 6 weeks, okay? Because now I'm going to need you to take some responsibility for what you did. And then after taking responsibility, then you've got to be willing to repent. If you're the spouse who has wounded, you're the spouse who has cheated, you've got to be willing to take responsibility and then to repent. And until that happens, we can't talk about reconciliation. Now, I'm telling y'all this because I've seen it done wrong so many times. Because we do love our spouse, even the spouse that cheated on us, we still love them. Just because they cheated on us doesn't mean that we just don't love them anymore. We still love them. Yesterday, before we found out about the affair, we were close to them, so we thought, maybe. Maybe you sensed some dysfunction or you sensed something going on in the relationship, but you didn't think it was broken to this level, most likely. So those feelings that you're having are not going to go away. So what I see happen a lot of times is that the spouse who was wounded, they will go and try to reconcile with their spouse who cheated. They'll try to be like, you know what? We're going to get through this. And they begin consoling the cheating spouse. They begin saying, you know what? You're not a bad person. God loves you. Let's pray. Let's do all these things. And it sounds good. And you might even think that's the good Christian response. But meanwhile, you're bleeding out. You're bleeding out. You're not addressing your own trauma. You're just trying to make this thing okay with the spouse who's not even accepted responsibility, nor have they repented. So what do you think is going to happen? Maybe you've experienced this because you've been in a marriage where there's been multiple affairs. Why have there been multiple affairs? Because that person has never had to take responsibility for what they have done, and they've never really repented. Well, sure, they said, I'm sorry. There's a difference between saying I'm sorry and repenting. The word repent means to turn around, to make a change. You're going east, now you're going west. You were going up, now you're going down. You are different. You're doing things different. You're saying things different. You've got different people around you. You're responding differently. That's repentance. So when there's true repentance, you're not going to have multiple affairs. So if you are listening to me right now and you keep thinking, I just want to reconcile. I just want to reconcile. I just want this thing to go away. I want you to be in the best relationship possible. And that might not be right now with this person who was unrepentant. So it's okay to pause and say, you know what? I do want to reconcile. But guess what? It's that person's responsibility, your cheating spouse's responsibility to do their work. I cannot stress this enough. To do their work. You've got work to do, which is healing, which is forgiveness, which is reevaluating. Were there signs that you missed? Were there things that you did that contributed to the breakdown in your relationship? Again, not that contributed to the affair. Please hear me there. Okay, you don't bear any responsibility with their decision to cheat. But what did I do that contributed to the breakdown of my relationship? So there are things that you need to be doing, healing and, you know, surrounding yourself with good people and being safe and all those things that we talked about in the previous week's episode. But your spouse then also needs to do their work. That's critically important. Shame is going to continue to show up. And this is the crazy thing about shame, is that shame will try to attach itself to you as the wounded spouse, even though you did nothing wrong. You might feel ashamed. You might be unwilling to walk around naked in front of your spouse because you feel so damaged. You feel dirty. You feel like there's something that has happened to you. There's something that's on you. And if that is you, please recognize that for what it is. It is shame and it is not your fault. You do not have to wear that robe of shame. It does not belong to you. So we're walking through this journey a little bit slow. We're walking through this affair journey very methodically because, y'all, this is literally what people pay me for as a coach to tell them. I'm telling you a lot of these things on the episodes in this series. Now, do we go deeper in coaching? Absolutely. And everyone's situation is different. So if you are in the throes of infidelity right now, you just found out your spouse was cheating, you think that they might be cheating, you know that they are, and you've been walking this process and you're not really getting anywhere, you guys are stuck. If you need coaching, reach out. You can always do that at danashay.com/coaching. You can also, of course, go to rebuildinguspodcast.com and click on the coaching tab there. I want you all to be in healthy relationships. Your relationship can be healthy again after an affair, but I just really hope that you guys are hearing my warning here. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. We've got a lot of work that needs to be done before we get to the reconciliation stage. So we end every episode with a life-giving affirmation. And today's affirmation is simply this: I am able to ask for help with no fear of shame. Let's repeat that together. I am able to ask for help with no fear of shame. You do not have to be ashamed to ask for help, my friend. This is why God placed us in each other's lives. This is why He gave you your friends. This is why He gave you your family. This is why if you're in a good church, He placed you there, because you are going to need a lot of support during this time. Please do not try to go through this alone. Please utilize the people that God has placed in your life to help you to get through this journey. So no shame on you, my friend. And even if you're the spouse who cheated, there is no shame on you. Shame is not purposeful. Accept responsibility, repent, and find out how you can actually learn how to start rebuilding trust in your relationship, so that reconciliation is indeed possible. Love you guys so much. Thanks so much for listening. You can find the show notes, of course, to the podcast and all the podcasts at rebuildinguspodcast.com. I'll see you on the next episode. Take care.
Finding uplifting news in today's headlines is often like searching for a needle in a haystack. At the Story Behind podcast, we believe in the power of finding heartwarming tales and are happy to share empowering stories with you every week. Hear about how Steve Harvey surprised a dying man on Family Feud with $25,000. Get inspired by the note a waitress received from a patron dining alone. And even hear about how one VIP passenger made a hardworking pilot get emotional before his flight. To start listening to the Story Behind podcast, visit lifeaudio.com or search Story Behind on your favorite podcast platform.